Hey, listen, so I've got this little piece of rope right here, and there's three knots in it. And this first knot over here, this is the day you were born. The second knot is the day that you were born again, if you're a believer. So that's the day you were born again. And this third knot is the day that God brings you home. So we've got day you were born the first time, day you were born again as a believer, and the day he brings you home. And I want you to know there's way more to life than just simply this right here. And in fact, if you go, you know, say, well, wait, there's the day I was born. What's before that? Natalie, I'm picking on you because I always pick on you at this point. How long has God been in love with you? Forever. That's the foreknowledge of God. That's what we've been learning in Romans chapter 8. Romans, there's the foreknowledge of God. So before you were even born, God was in love with you. This is for eternity, if I had a longer piece of rope. So God's been in love with you forever. Man, is that pretty cool or what? You know? Yeah, so if you think, man, you know, like again, I know it's tough when you're going through things, Erica and Scott. All of us, it's tough. I could point out all of you guys because I'm your pastor and I know a lot of people are going through tough things right now. I mean, Chrissy, she's married to Steve. Can you imagine that? And so anyways, we've got tough things that we all have to go through in life. But man, there's an encouragement to know that God's in love with you. And sometimes we think that maybe, oh, I did this or I did that and he's not in love with me anymore. No, he's been in love with you forever. You really think there's something in this little thing that's going to stop God's love if he's been in love with you forever? No, man. And so in addition to this, after he brings us home, man, look at this. This is eternity. All of this, I don't want to knot everything up again, but all of this, and if I could, man, this is just a small representation of eternity. That's how long we are going to be with God. And where are we going to be with God at? In heaven. What's it going to be like in heaven? What's the P word, y'all? Perfect. And Mac, Holly, I want you to answer this. Mac is going to be what? Perfect. Can you even believe that? How long have you been with him? How many perfect days have you had? I know, 46 years. How many moments have you seen perfection in Mac and all of that? Now, be honest. You're in church. Don't lie. Have you seen one full minute of perfection ever? No, because he's never seen that in you. But for eternity, guys, we are going to have perfection in a perfect place with a perfect God. So, man, he's been in love with you forever, and we've got an eternal home that no one can take away. It's eternal, it's forever. But yet, from the day we're born to the day we're born again to the day he brings us home, isn't this what we get wrapped up in? We get wrapped up in this. We forget about this, and we forget about this, and this is important. But God causes us to actually, through communion, he doesn't tell us how often to have communion. He doesn't tell us, you know, a schedule for communion, but he says, I want you as the church to have communion. And what I want you to do during communion, man, is I want you to be able to look back. From the day you were born again, I want you to look back to everything he did for you. I want you to look forward to being with him forever, but I want you to stop all of the concern, all of the busyness. How many of y'all ain't got time for God? I ain't got time for that. I don't know. Seriously, how many of y'all ain't got time to read the Bible? How many of y'all don't have, I do my devotion, I got 5 minutes here. I'm just serious, like, man, how about this? How many of y'all have ever seen life get in the way of a relationship with God? Yeah, and that's why he says, man, I want you to have communion. I want you to have a time where you're going to stop and not think about all the things you got going on, not think about all the problems, not think about even all the good things, all the glory, not think about all. I want you to stop, and I want you to think about your relationship with me. I want you to get it all in perspective, and I want you to look back. I want you to look forward, and then I want you to look in, because you have a mission as a believer, and it is to look around. It's to look out. So help me, you guys know, whenever we do communion at Driftwood, we've used this outline. How many of y'all know the outline already? Raise your hand if you know the outline. Brad, good. Come on up here and preach it, man. No, I'm just messing with you. But no, you should know this outline because you can do communion anytime. You can do it in your home. You can do it in your car by yourself. You can do it in a small group. And it's a time where you can just get aside. You know what? Even when you, how many of y'all like lay in bed and the alarm goes off and you just lay there and la la land a little bit? How many of y'all bounce right out when the alarm goes off? Yeah! Do I have any bouncers? All right. All right, so you're married to a non-bouncer, okay, right? So how many of y'all just like, you hear it and you lay there for a minute just to collect your thoughts? You know what would be some good thoughts to collect? Look back, look forward, look in, and look around. Take that time to have a personal communion with God. So again, here it is. So you guys will all remember, he's going to show us, we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 20, or chapter 11 again. He's going to tell us to, all right, get your fingers ready, y'all. Got your thumbs ready? All right. He's going to tell us to look what? And look to being with him again, and to look so that you can represent him, because he wants us to look out. Okay, ready? Back, forward, in, and around. How many of y'all can remember that? Can y'all remember that? How many of y'all could use some exercise in the morning? Go, boo, boo, boo. Yeah, yeah. There's your worship aerobics right there, all right? So look back, look forward, look in, so you can look around. That's really what's supposed to be happening here. No matter what your occupation, what your business, what your hobbies, whatever it is, man, it's all set up by him from the time we're born again to the time he brings us home, so that we can represent him. We can look around and show people who God is. But in order to do that, sometimes we've got to look in. How many of y'all ever taken a bad picture before? Bad picture? You heard me say this before. It's not a bad picture. That's how you are when you are not posing. All right? That's how you are when you're not posing. When you're posing, man, whoo, yeah. But when you're not posing, that's your bad picture. That's what everybody sees all the time. So God says, I want you to look in the spiritual mirror. I want you to look there. I'm going to force the church to do communion at some point in time. So you will look and you will do an internal spiritual audit so you can fully represent me. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to say, what is it that I could change? What is it that's not representing? What is it that you want to change? What is it that I'm doing right? And let him encourage you. Let him convict you. But if we don't do it, we don't do it. So we've got to take some time out of this busy life, and that's what we do with communion. So for those of you who've been with us before, you already know you're not going to learn new scripture. It's not about you learning new scripture. It's about scripture learning new things about you. You get that? It's not about you learning new scripture. You guys could probably quote this. You could read it. You already know. But it's about scripture digging down deep inside of you. That's what it's for. So you could be, all right, I've heard this message before. I can sleep. I can play on my phone. I can do whatever. Dude, God, I know yesterday morning, I'm laying in my hammock out on the back porch. And I'm like, all right, trying to get my notes together. All right, God, just getting a thought. Here, where are we going with the rest of Romans chapter 10, starting it in there? And God's like, no. I'm like, what do you mean, no? You already told me we're doing Romans 10. He's like, I've been studying. He's like, no, no. And I don't know who it's for. In fact, I know that it's for every one of us that God put on my heart. We are having communion today. This is the day. That's how we do it. I don't have it on a schedule. We don't go in a war room on a whiteboard in the beginning of the year and map it out on when it's going. The Holy Spirit of God put in my heart that we are supposed to have communion today, and he put in your heart to be here. Amen? So that's where we're at. So again, we're going to look back, we're going to look forward, we're going to look in, we're going to look around. Now you can get out of this what you want to get out of it. You can say, oh, dude, I already know it. All right, hurry up, get through it. It's already 10:09. Or you can take it and do what God wants you to do with this. Again, he wants us to look back to what he's done for us, wants us to look forward to being with him again. He wants us to look in and do a spiritual audit so that we can be soul conscious, and we can look around. So let's take a look at this, and we'll start with the very first one, and at the end, we will have communion. I'll kind of give you directions on all of that. So first thing is, what are we going to do? We're going to look what? What are we going to do? Look what? Yes, thank you. You got to keep me awake this morning, all right? Look back to what Jesus has done for you, all right? So even in this, all right, even looking here, all right? So how many of y'all remember the day you got born again? How many do you remember the day Christ came into your life, dude? What a day. You know what? When I got saved, I remember driving home from this church. I got all kinds of stories about this. This is a church where I grew up, and I didn't go to this church. I was Catholic, and this was a Baptist church. And in fact, they would have buses come around, and they would pick all the little kids up in the neighborhood, and they would sucker us onto the bus with popsicles. And dude, as a kid, dude, I mean, I'll get on a bus for a popsicle. I'll get in a white van for a popsicle. I'm just saying, man. Yeah, because I'll start talking, man, and they'll let me out. Get out of here. No, but I ain't got to worry about being kidnapped, man. But man, they gave me popsicles. I'd eat my popsicles as soon as we get to church. Okay, kids, let's go. I'm walking back home again. And later, I became the youth pastor of that church. But before that, I got saved. And I went to that church, and I'll never forget driving in my Volkswagen Bug, man, on the way home. I'm driving home down Emeralda Drive, and I'm thinking, I am on the right team. I am finally on the right team. I don't have to make it on another baseball team and have promises from coaches that are being broken. I don't have to get into another business where bosses are going to lie to me, where things aren't the way. I am on the right team, finally. Praise God. How many of y'all remember that? The right team, and I am on it forever, and I have a starting position, just like you do. The right team, and I'll never forget that. From the day I was born to the day I was born again, man, with that day I was born again, I can just remember being on that right team. How many of y'all remember the day you got born again? Don't lose your testimony. Keep that testimony fresh. Keep thinking about what God did for you, but man, and what he even rescued you from. Well, I was very good, and I didn't do anything wrong, and I didn't really. Yeah, well, he rescued you from your pride, you pious person. I'm just saying, and you should be glad of that. But again, thinking about the fact that he loved you forever. What an awesome thing. He has been in love with you before you could ever do anything right, wrong, or indifferent. So again, if you can't do anything, if you didn't do anything right, wrong, or indifferent to get saved, is there anything you can do to lose that salvation? Because he's loved you for how long, Natalie? And that's not just Natalie, that's all of us. How many of y'all know he loved you forever? Cool. All right, good. So we look back to what Jesus has done. And in 1 Corinthians, here's kind of the context of this. This is what Apostle Paul says about the Lord's Supper. And if you read the whole chapter, this is kind of what it was about. The Corinthian church, they were like Las Vegas, man. They were like this big city, all the kind of wildest things you could ever imagine. They got saved. They gave their life to Christ. And back, both letters to the Corinthians were not like a lot of doctrine for us to like, oh, look at the Corinthians here. It was doctrine to them to correct them. What they were trying to do is figure out, oh, am I allowed to do this but not this? Can I do this? Can I not do this? And they wanted specific. All right, so can I do this but not go this far? And he's like, no. Paul's trying to explain to him that, dude, when you gave your life to Christ, it belongs to him. In fact, you've heard me say this before. If you were to read 1 and 2 Corinthians, there's four questions that Paul continually tells them to ask. Instead of a list of do's and don'ts, he says, ask these four questions. And when you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, I want you to look and find these questions. First one, he says, ask yourself if what I'm about to do, is it helpful? Is it helpful? And it's not about helpful to me. Is it going to help somebody else come to Christ? Is it going to help them spiritually? And then you look, is it helpful for me spiritually? So that's the first question. Paul said, if it's not going to help somebody else come to Christ and it's not going to help you get closer to Christ, don't do it. He said, number two, is it hurtful? Is it going to hurt somebody or hinder them from coming to Christ or getting closer to God? Don't do it. Is it going to hinder you from getting closer to Christ? Don't do it. So is it helpful? Is it what? What's the next one? Hurtful. And then another one, he says, is it habit forming? Habit forming. In other words, he says, look, dude, if something has control of you, if it has control of you, whenever it has control of you, God doesn't have control of you. And God, how much did God pay for you? What did he pay for you? Could he pay anything more for you? No, you were not a blue light special for you old people who remember like Kmart. You remember that? Any of y'all old enough remember blue light specials at Kmart? All right, good. Yeah. No, dude, he paid top dollar. That's how value is assessed, by what someone's willing to pay for something. And he could not have paid any more for you than what he paid. And so he owns how much of you? Yeah, Benjamin, we talked about this before too, but you know, you got power tools, you got batteries. Oh, Brandon, let's stop. Brandon's the one who does actually the work. Benjamin, you just oversee it, right? Brandon, there you are, man. I've watched you. I know I heard it all day long, and I praise God because I love my new windows and I don't have to hear anymore. But dude, there's nothing more. What happens when you go to grab a tool and you go to use it and the battery's dead? Oh, is that like a bummer or what?
Big time. And then you go look for another battery, and it's dead, and another battery, and it's dead, and another battery, and it's dead. Man, how do you feel? What do you want to do with that tool? Slam it against the wall and go get another one. Aren't you glad that God's not a construction worker? No, but in that, you're whenever something's got control of you, you're like a dead battery in a tool. God can't use you when something else has control over you. And that could be anything. That could be Amazon. It could be Facebook. It could be drugs. It could be anything. It could be disc golf. I'm just saying. It could be whatever. Surfing. God says, man, you were bought with a price. Glorify him with everything that you have. Be a charged battery. That's why we come to church, to charge the battery so that we're ready for whatever he brings to us this week. That's why we are in the Word in the morning. That's when we check a box and say, oh, God bless me, I read the Bible. No, I need, it's like charging your cell phone. So he said first, oh man, I'm all over the place. JJ, you're gonna have to help me because I've been pushing buttons and I don't even know what I pushed. But I'm somewhere way farther up in where I'm at. So Paul asked, he said, is it helpful? Is it helpful? He said, is it hurtful? Is it habit forming? Because if it's habit forming, don't, if it's going to help, if it's going to make somebody else have a habit, don't do it. If it's going to make you have a habit where God doesn't have control of you because something else does, he says, man, don't do it. And the last thing, they're like, still making a list. What about this, Paul? What about this? What about, can we do this, but not this and that, but not, he says, all right, shut up. Look, I'm going to put you a final question to ask yourself. Is it honoring to God according to the biblical God of who God is of the Bible? Is it honoring to God? If it's not honoring to God, by no means do it. So he says, what's the first one question? Is it what? Helpful. Second one, is it? Third one, is it? And the fourth one, is it? Honoring to God. Dude, that's what he's trying to tell the Corinthians, but yet they're still, okay, so is this cool with you, God? And that's not cool. And like, dude, just throw the questions in there and see what happens. And so with the Lord's Supper, what they had been doing, they started this thing called a love feast, right? Non, you're an old hippie, right? No, I'm just messing with you. Yeah, no, man, love feast. Does that not sound like a cool thing to have as a love feast? You can talk in church here. I know it's your first time. If we don't scare you off, welcome to the family. But does a, all right, would you rather go to a love feast or a hate feast? All right, there we go. All right, I had to work her into that one. Love feast. Does that not sound cool to have a love feast? That's what, woo, we're going to have the Lord's Supper, but we're going to gather ahead of time to have a love feast. And everybody brings food. It's a potluck, dude. They were probably Baptists. I'm just saying. It's just like, there's a love feast. Everybody brought food except for who? Who couldn't bring food? Yeah, the poor people. They didn't have any. Because you know what? When they gave their life to Christ, they lost their job. When they gave their life to Christ, they lost their family. They weren't independently wealthy. And so the church was made up of all people of all socioeconomic statuses. And so God, that's why in the book of Acts, it talks about whatever you have, you use it for with each other. It's not communism, not socialism, but it's using what God gave you for the group and bring it together. So guess what the love feast ended up becoming? It became a hate feast. People would bring, the rich people would bring, you know, all of their pork chops. Oh, wait, they were Jews, not pork chops. But they bring, what kind of beef was that, Scott? Wagyu or whatever. Yeah, dude, they'd be bringing Wagyu. They'd be bringing, man, all kinds of good stuff. Poor people might have a little bit of something. And what did God want the rich people to do with the poor people? Share. Share. How many of y'all have kids, little kids? Did you have to teach them how to share? Do you still have to teach them how to share? Aren't you glad we all got it as an adult? They didn't get it as an adult. And so he's like, look, so they had a division. Rich people would be over there eating their food. The poor people would be like, hey, I'm a little hungry. Oh, here's a scrap for you. And it became just messed up, so messed up that the Apostle Paul heard about it. And the Apostle Paul says, all right, another one. All right, let me ask you about, is this helpful for them to be divided socioeconomically? Is that helpful?
No.
Don't do it. Is it hurtful?
Yes.
Is it habit forming? Oh my goodness, yeah, because if I could ever get out of this poor clique and be, I'll do whatever to be part of this rich clique. That's habit forming. Is it honoring to God what was going on? No. But in this situation, Apostle Paul heard about it and said, look, man, this is not what you do. He said, here, I got this from the Lord, and this is what we do. And so that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 25, the middle section is actually about in there. So here it is. He says, I pass on to you what I received from who? The Lord himself. He got it from God. All right. However that happened, he got it from God. We don't know anything more than that. But we know this is what God says is true about communion and the Lord's Supper. On the night when he, Jesus, was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. He broke it in pieces. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in what? And if you're going to remember, are you looking back, forward, in, or around? What are you looking? Back. Do this in remembrance of me. And so he said, again, I'm not getting into the whole thing of doctrine of transubstantiation. If you don't even know what that means, don't even look it up. Don't Google it for sure. But man, honestly, the way we look at it, I bought these oyster crackers last night at Walmart on aisle 14A. I'm just saying. Again, I'm not making light of this, but what it is, it's a representation to us. It's to remind us. It's like my wedding ring. My wedding ring that I have, what is it? What does it symbolize? That I'm married, right? If I take my wedding ring off, am I still married? Yes. If I put my wedding ring on Bob, does that make him married to my wife? No, because Ann would beat her tail. So I'm just saying no. But no, it's a symbol. And again, so however you want to take it, but that's how we look at it. I want you to know. He said, this is my body, which is given for you. His body still went and, you know, got crucified, all of this. But the point is look, I'm giving you my body. I only came on this planet for you. Marley, if God called you to save the barracudas, what would you have to become to save them? Because you'd have to be a barracuda to be a substitute. And plus, to talk to the barracudas, what would you have to be? A barracuda. To understand the barracudas, what would you have to be? Exactly. So Christ came to be our substitute. He came with a human body. He came from the glory of heaven and put on the rags of humanity, which is a great, great distance. It's not very close. We're closer to cockroaches than Christ than a human is to God. So he put on the rags, you mean he became a man so he could be our substitute. Amen? Aren't you glad he didn't come as a cockroach? I'm just saying. Came as a man so he could be my substitute in this. And his body, his bones weren't broken or whatever, but the book of Isaiah says that he was beat beyond recognition when all of this went down. You guys probably know the story, but on the night he was betrayed, on that night, he was having the Lord's Supper. He was taking a Passover meal that God had established and had going for so long. And Jesus had the audacity to change it into something different. What gave him, not the audacity, but others would, if you didn't think he was God, you would say audacity. He took something God established and made it something different. Do we have the right to do that? Who has the right to do that? Jesus is God. He changed it because it was all a picture of who he would be, of he would be that Passover lamb. And so he took that night, and while he was trying to teach them, what were the disciples doing that night, y'all? What were they doing? Andy, what were the disciples doing? Oh, yeah, well, they wanted to eat, but they were also like arguing about what? Oh, who's going to be the biggest, baddest one in the kingdom? Hey, can I sit on your right hand? Gee, like, look, dude, y'all got it wrong. I'm fixing to get beat beyond recognition. I'm fixing to be killed. I'm fixing to go in the grave. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. They're like, la, 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 la. We don't hear any of that. All they were thinking is, ooh, the kingdom's coming in because that's what our theology has told us. He's going to be kick Rome's tail. We're going to be like, dude, can I be your general? Can I be the colonel? Can I be? And he's like, shut up, listen. Plus, it was a very disturbing time for Christ. I mean, when he finally did go kneel down in the garden to pray, what came out of his pores, y'all? Blood! That's pretty devastating time as a human. And again, what he was, I don't want to say afraid, but what was the problem, what made him have that anxiety, was he was going to be separated from God the Father for the first time since eternity. So the night when he's trying to have some fellowship, you ever just need somebody to talk to? You ever need someone ever just to listen? Any of y'all need that? Don't call me. No, I'm just like, no, when you do call me and you need me to talk, you're like, hey, Pastor Eddie, shut up because I need to talk, all right? Otherwise, I'm going to talk. But I will listen. I can if you tell me that ahead of time. But man, he just wanted to talk to his disciples, wanted to hang out with them. He's fixing to have a trying night because in the middle of the night, what was going to happen? The one who was in his tribe, Judas, was out there betraying him, trying to force the kingdom because he was probably a zealot. And he was trying to force the kingdom because he knew if he's God, he's not going to let them beat him up. He's not going to let them be arrested. Boy, was Judas wrong. But Jesus knew all of this. And all he wanted was some fellowship. He wanted to help them. All of John 14, 15, 16, all of where he's telling them, look, I'm going away, but the Holy Spirit's coming. He's another comforter, a paraclete that's going to walk alongside you. It's better that you have the Holy Spirit than you have me here physically. They're not hearing any of it. They didn't get it till later. Mac, you were a teacher, right? Any other teachers in here? Teachers, teachers, teachers. How does that make you feel? Oh, Mac and Holly. Dude, y'all just teach each other? Is that what you know? I'm just, hey, it's not working. Yeah, but how was it when you were trying to teach somebody and they just weren't even listening? Oh, that's how Jesus was feeling. Then all of a sudden, he's out in the garden, he's praying. He wanted a couple buddies to pray with him, right? Destiny, what did his friends do when they went out to pray with him? Fell asleep. You ever try to have a serious conversation with Jack? An intimate conversation with Jack? I just want you to hear me. And you have not learned the art of looking like you're awake and listening to your wife yet, have you? I'm just saying. You know, he's been out gator hunting, been out whatever, been up since 3 o'clock in the morning waiting for that, and you're trying to have a conversation, and all of a sudden he falls asleep. How does that make you feel? I'm just letting you know, Jack. I'm just saying. No other husbands in here do that, all right? I don't know. Just to make Jack feel better, how many of you have ever done that? All right. Oh, wives are pointing at husbands now. All right, there we go. Yeah. They fell asleep. And he wanted them to pray for their own self because they were going to need the Holy Spirit. They were going to need power from God to not fall into temptations that they were going to fall into. And then he gets arrested illegally. All night long, he gets arrested illegally and goes through 3 different trials. Well, more than that, but he went through all these trials. They beat him. They beat him, a cat of 9 tails. This was towards the end. They stripped him naked. How many of y'all, if you were God and you could call angels down from heaven, you would put up with the guy, people falling asleep. You could put up being betrayed. You could put up, you know, with illegally being arrested. But how many of y'all, when they stripped you naked in front of the whole public and tied you to a stick, would say, I draw the line right here. Yeah. He allowed himself to be beaten for our transgressions. Cat of 9 tails. And how many times did they hit him with that 9 tails? 39 times, because 40 would have been brutal, they said. And each of the tails had glass, had metal, had bone. And the guy who used it was an expert at this. And he would literally take it and go, foo! And he would let all 9 pieces stick in a back. And did he go and pick them out individually? No, literally, he would just rip them out. So each time Christ got hit, there were 9 wounds ripped through his skin. How many got 10 whacks? 11. Are you at this point saying, angels, I'm almost ready for you. Legion of angels, come on down. Christ did it. He remained silent like a lamb going off to slaughter, Isaiah says. And who did he do that for, JT? Yeah. I want you to say me. Did he do it for you? He did it for you, man. And me too. But yeah, he did it for me. How many of y'all would do that for somebody? Y'all talking big right now. But yeah, he got beat beyond recognition, got spit on. Crown of thorns on his, blood dripping down his face. That was just the crucifixion. He got nailed to a cross. He died on a cross. Do you remember what he said on the cross right before he died? He said, I thirst. Because what did people die of on a cross? Dehydration and suffocation. You were nailed, and it was really eye level. It wasn't way up there so that anybody who wanted to rebel against Rome, they could walk the street and they'd be like, "Ooh, I don't want to be that guy." It was eye level. That's how they had him on there. And the guy on the cross literally would be sinking down. And as he sunk down, his diaphragm would strangle his lungs like a boa constrictor. When you let the air out, it's... And the only way to get air back in was to pull himself up over and over and over again. Forget about the strength. What about the ripped hand, the ripped arms? Who did he do, Abby, who did he do that for? Me, yeah. Marley, who did he do it for? Yeah, are you glad? That's what we're supposed, these are some of the things we're supposed to think about, but what, looking back of what he did for us. He died, buried, but on the third day he rose again, praise the Lord. We'll talk more about that. But then you can even go back from the time you were born to the time you were born again. And go back and look at all he did for you during that time. So when we do have communion, when I'm done preaching in the next 4 or 5 hours, but no, it's going to be a short one today, but I shouldn't have said that, should I, Scott? It'll be as long as the Holy Spirit wants it, but I don't anticipate it being super long, especially if I can get back on track. All right, but literally when we do have it, we'll have band kind of playing and I'll let you know, we'll pray. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to just kind of come across. And don't trip on that cord, by the way, all right? If you do, we're going to drag you out to the road. It never happened in here. That's what we do at the hunting lease. No, I'm just saying. But no, just when you come up, grab the juice, grab the oyster cracker, the bread. You know what it represents. You will by the time this is over. And I want you just to take a moment. You, personally, you take some time. And think back. And you don't have to be the things that I've talked about. You just think back and say, Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to think back to in my relationship with you or what you did for me? Looking back. And let the Holy Spirit show you. Because it might be something I don't even bring up. Then I want you to think, not only looking back, because this is what he said. He said, I give thanks to God for it. He broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. You remember there was an Abrahamic covenant back in Genesis 12. The Abrahamic covenant is when he said, Abraham, you're an old man. I'm going to give you a baby, you and your wife a baby, and you're going to have one. And it took a little while for all that to happen, but eventually they did have a baby. They had Isaac, named him Laughter because they thought it was funny that old people were going to get pregnant. How many of y'all think that's funny? Anyways, they had it. He said, but I'm starting the Jewish nation, and I'm going to start a Jewish nation through you. And the purpose is that one day you're going to bring a Messiah. I'm going to bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm going to bless the whole world through you, which is a Messiah. He said, that's what, through Abraham. Whether you obey me or not, Abraham, I'm doing that, period. Once they got out of Egypt, and now they're going into the promised land, he makes the Mosaic Covenant. The Mosaic Covenant was a covenant, if you obey me, I will bless your socks off. If you don't obey me, buddy, I am going to curse your socks off. And it was based on behavior. It was based on that. And the picture of the blood was everywhere in all of this. And that was the old covenant. This new covenant is now based on Christ's blood. Christ takes his blood and he pays for all of our sins. Whoever is born again, he's paid for our sins. When Christ died on the cross, he took all of our sins. He took our old unrighteous life. How many of y'all had an old unrighteous life, a jalopy life to give him? He took that and he gave you his brand spanking new perfect life. And he gave it to you forever. So that's what we have from him. That's that new covenant that was made in his blood. He said it's an agreement. Agreement with who? With God Almighty, who's the judge. An agreement confirmed with Christ's blood. And so we now have peace with God. We had a death penalty. He paid it. He took our punishment, our wrath, our everything, because when we sin, we rob God of his glory. Is there anybody who can give him his glory back? Steve, you ever robbed God of his glory? Absolutely you have. Could you in any way, shape, or form give God his glory back? No. So you can't pay for your own sins. Christ, through his death on the cross, burial, and resurrection, he gave God glory back. And we get credit for that. That's this new cup that's confirmed in all of this. Something more to think about. But he says, do this in what? Remembrance of me as oft as you drink it. So literally, at lunch, y'all could have Lord's Supper. I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm telling you that you can do this anytime to think back of what Christ did for you. How many of y'all are pretty stoked when you think back of what Christ did for you? How many of y'all are bummed, like, oh, God, I can't believe somebody would do that for me? You know, no. Wish he wouldn't have gone that far. You know, I didn't really need that. Well, yeah, you do. But, man. What an enlightening, what a beautiful thing to think back of what he did for me. That's why he says, I want you to get that in perspective. Without me, you were lost. So we look which way? Back. Next, we're going to look forward to his return. So the next verse, only one verse, he says, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again until when? Until he comes again. So what's he going to do, Steve and Rita? He's coming again. Do you believe he's coming again? We're supposed to celebrate that he's coming again. That's what's happening. When he comes again, we will be perfect, because that's what John said. He said, we are the sons of God, but it don't look like it. It doesn't look like sons of God. You guys are messed up. You don't look like it. We are, but it says when we see him, we will be perfect just like him. How many of y'all are looking forward to never getting in trouble again? You will not have the equipment to get in trouble again. You won't have the ability to get in trouble. You will be like Christ. You will want what God wants. And when you want what God wants, you get what you want. You're perfect. You can't. It's going to be perfection. So he's coming again. Right now, the world thinks believers, they think we're what? Yeah, can y'all put up an L? Some of y'all bold ones, man. Throw up an L. Like, the world thinks you're a loser, right? But you're not a loser, man. You're a winner, right? Let me see your W, man. Put it up. You're a winner. Yeah. I can't do this because of arthritis. I try to do it with these fingers, I may end up doing something you don't. And then you're going to be like, what? And there'll be a picture on the internet and everything. But no, man, we're winners. We know through faith. The world thinks we're losers, but we know through faith we're winners. We have eternal security. We're going to be perfect one day. According to Scripture, the world without Christ, what are they? They're going to lose. And I'm not talking about personality. I'm talking about the fact that they're going to lose. They leave this world without Christ. Where do they spend eternity? Yeah, not purgatory. They go to hell forever. They're losing, but the world has sold them on the idea they're winning, but they're losing according to Scripture. And what do you want them to be? The big, hey, Chris, the biggest, do you work with any jerks? How many of y'all work with jerks, man? You got jerks. Tomorrow you're going to see a jerk. You got a whole family, man. Y'all need to get a new job. I'm just saying, no, I'm messing with you. There's jerks everywhere, right? People that, whoo, Chris, you work with jerks? You got a few of them, right? You don't have to name their names or anything in case they're in here, but I'm just, what would be the greatest thing that could ever happen to the person that is a jerk at work? What's the greatest thing? What does a person who's a jerk at work need? They need Jesus. They need to get saved. They're truly a loser and they don't see it. They need Christ, and Christ will make them more. Christ give. How many of y'all were jerks before you got saved? How many of y'all are still jerks? I'm just saying, like, how many of y'all are working on it? No, he's squeezing the jerk out of us. He's making us more like him until one day we have no jerkedness in us anymore. You like that word, jerkedness? Is that a word? I just made that one up. That's your, you can use it. Yeah, but seriously, the people that we work with, the people in our, how about your condo association? Any jerks in there? I'm just saying. Yeah, it's everywhere. But you can't expect lost people to act like saved people. That's why we've got to act like saved people. And when God puts it in their life that they need Christ, guess who they can come to? They can come to you in this. So he says, every time you eat this bread, drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. He is coming again. In fact, check this out. The next great event in the spiritual calendar is what? What do you think? The rapture. You're talking about the rapture. Whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, I'm pro-rapture. It's happening. It's happening, no doubt. And I'm a pre-trib because if it's my bride, she ain't got no business being here during bad turmoil. I'm just saying. But again, I'm not going to argue over that. I know we're getting raptured. When we get raptured, if you're a believer and you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, what does he do? He takes you up to heaven. He doesn't come back to the earth. He takes you to heaven, right? Is that going to be cool? Have any of you ever flown up to heaven without a plane? I'm just saying. Dude, would that not be so sweet if right now it happened and we're just like, yeah, this is what I was talking about. I don't think we'd be flapping. We'd probably flap our wings just because we're thinking we're doing something, man. I don't know. But dude, we're going to fly and we're going to heaven. And what's going to happen in heaven, y'all? What? We are the bride. He's the groom. So what now is happening of why he's bringing us to heaven? It's going to start the marriage. So what do we have? A wedding! Winners go to the wedding. We're going to a wedding. Dude, and this is the best wedding you could ever imagine. This is what we're supposed to look forward to. Could this change your day if you woke up? How many see? The alarm goes off. Dude, start thinking about the wedding. Man, what's the worst they can do to you at work? Kill you? Then you're going to heaven. But literally, if you thought about what your future is, would that not rock your world? Would that not be a great way to start the day? Dude, that's what he's saying. Look forward to him coming back. We're going to a wedding, a 7-year wedding, I believe. For you mid-tribbers, it's a 3-and-a-half-year wedding, but I'll just be there a little longer. And you better hope there's still shrimp on the buffet when you get there. I'm just saying. But because I'm going to have a glorified belly at that point. But seriously, we have a wedding. It's a celebration where we are the guest of honor. God, Christ is the groom and we are the bride. And it consummates, it ends finally at that 7-year mark while the world's going through the worst time it's ever gone through because he's got a great, what he's doing is he's destroying this place so that he can make a new heaven and a new earth. He's also bringing turmoil to the Jews so that they will recognize the Messiah when he does come this time. He's also bringing wrath to those who have rejected Christ, even during the tribulation. And by the way, during the tribulation, in that tough time, people who would not get saved by grace will get saved by just giving up. As God's destroying the earth, they're just saying, "Uncle, I give up. I give up." And they come to Christ. Countless numbers of people do, which is awesome. But at the end, there's a celebration. At the end of that 7 years, God comes back. He takes care of separating everybody. He chains the devil up. He sends an angel to chain the devil up. Puts him in a pit for 1,000 years. And guess what we have for 1,000 years now? We have a planet like Eden. We get that millennial kingdom where the lion lays down with the lamb. A baby can be at the mouth of an adder or a rattlesnake den and not get bit. It's like Eden again. Our swords, we don't have fighting. They need to be beat into plowshares so that we can actually harvest all this great stuff that he's got for us. It's nothing but bliss for 1,000 years. Chuck, can you imagine? You're going to have a glorified body. You got one now? You thought you had one back in the day, right? Me too, man, but it ain't there. They ain't even no thoughts now. You're going to have a glorified body. So, hey, Chuck, can you go check on Cloudbreak today? Go check on that and make sure everybody, you know, on Earth. Would that not be cool? That's your job. Well, I don't know what it's going to be like, but we're going to be serving him for 1,000 years with a perfect body on a perfect planet. And that's what we've got. So we've got a 7-year wedding. We've got 1,000-year millennial kingdom of perfection. And at the end of that, you know what he does? He lets the devil loose. And the devil gets all the people that are prideful again to fight against the people of God. I'm telling you, if you happen to be in that group and the devil's trying to get you to fight God, don't fight him. You're not going to win. Because immediately God wipes them all out, and then we go to our eternal home. Our eternal home. Would that not be, aren't you cool with 1,007 years of that so far? How many of y'all like that 1,007 years? Come, Lord Jesus, come, Maranatha. But at the end of that, now we go to our eternal homes, the new heaven and the new earth. We go back and forth. We have freedom to, and we have glorified bodies, and we only just serve Him. And whatever we want is what He wants. And we, how long do we get to do that for, y'all? Yeah, forever in 1,007 years. That, man, that's what we've got to look forward to, y'all. Anybody like excited? Yeah, I know it's 10:56, man. And some of y'all, if you need to stand up and do jumping jacks, do it, man. You won't distract me. I'll throw a little, my very first message I ever preached in seminary was at a nursing home. And, you know, they give you those assignments. I'm in a nursing home, and I'm preaching, and Lord Jesus said, and I had some little lady said, can you wheel me out? So I'm preaching like, and God said this, and I'm wheeling her out. I wheeled her out. I come back, and God, and this other old man said, can you wheel me out too? I wheeled three or four, but I had three or four stay, man, and I ain't been discouraged since. So if I got something that God wants me to say, buddy, I'm going to say it, man. And if you want to get wheeled out, yeah, yeah, you go ahead. So he says, every time you eat this bread, drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So we look back to what he's done for us. We look what? Forward. Anybody looking forward to him coming back? Woo, perfection. So he says, since we've got that already nailed down, is there anything, Stephen Rita, that can change that? Anything that can change the fact of what he's done and where we're going, nothing can change. We're set. How many of y'all know you're set? You're set. Abby, are you set? It's a done deal. Nothing can change this. So he says, while you're here in this little piece right here, I don't want you to make a big deal. I don't want you to act like the world. I don't want you to think that I'm picking on you. I don't want you to think I'm killing you. I don't want you to focus on this. I want you to focus on me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be added unto you to know what to do during this time. And I'll give you everything you need. You're working for me. I'm your CEO. You need a new hotel room, I'll hook you up. You need whatever you need to do, whatever it is I'm calling you to do, I'll hook you up. So he goes on. And he says, this is what I want you guys to do now. He says, I want you to look in. Look back, look forward. I want you guys to take the time. And I want you to do a spiritual inventory and look in. Look inside. Whew, man, that's hard to do, isn't it? Okay, I looked in. I'm good. No, man, he wants you to take some time and look in. We don't like silence. If I were to give you 60 seconds of silence to look in, see, Scott's leaving already. 60 seconds of silence. How many of y'all be going postal worker before 60 seconds? We just can't handle silence because society has so trained us not to look in. Not to, ooh, I don't want to think about things. I want to be distracted. I have so many, you know, corporate people that I have the privilege of dealing with. You know what they tell me their number one drug is? Distraction. I can stay busy. And I can stay busy doing this. I don't have to deal with anything. Distraction may be your drug. That's why he says, every so often I want you to have communion so you can look back, look forward. That's awesome. But I want you to take some time to look in. Look at this, and I'll be quick about this because it speaks for itself pretty good. He says, look in to judge yourself so no one else has to. And he says, so anyone who eats this bread and drinks this cup, in fact, he tells us we're all as believers. If you know you're a believer, he tells you to come be a part of this. And you look back, you look forward, you look in. He says, anyone who eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. In other words, if you just do it and you don't look back, look forward, look in, if you say, all right, I'm just doing it, I'm supposed to do it, whatever. Dude, he says, that's, no, you do it so you can look in and judge yourself so no one else will have to. So he's commanding us to do it. It's like telling your mom you broke something. Can I have a spanking, please? Marley, you ever broke? Mom, your favorite thing, I broke it. Or would you just let her find that out on her own? Well, God knows everything. You think about that? And he's waiting for you to tell him. He's like, yeah, I know. And it's hurting you more than it is me. I want you to get this right. Because the more you become like me, the more it's like heaven. And the more, and you get this right, dude, you'll be fulfilled. You'll have joy, love, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness. You'll have all these things. So I want you to look in, not to make you feel bad, but to look in because he loves you too much to leave you in your current state. Is there anybody here that's perfect? Can I see your hand? If you raised it, you'd be a liar and you'd blow that perfection. But no, we're not perfect. There's something. How many of y'all think there's something God could kind of let you in on to get straight? Yeah, that's what this is about. Anyone who eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. In other words, he said, I want you to check yourself out. And if you don't, dude, you're just taking this lightly. He said, that is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. So as you grab it, make sure you don't trip on this. That's the only thing, you know, think about looking back, looking forward, but looking in. Just ask the Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to fix? What is it you want me to do? And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He's not going to throw everything on you. He's going to start with one thing and do it. Because that's why we're having Lord's Supper, because God wants to speak to you about something that I'm not going to be able to speak to you about. He wants to speak to you. That is why you should be examining yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking judgment on yourself. So if you don't come to him, Marley breaks something, like just totally messes something up big time, you kind of already know, right? And you're just waiting for him to come and fess up. You give a little, oh, hey, I think something got broke, something like, oh, wonder who did that? Must have been Maverick, man. I mean, whatever, you know. And like, you're just waiting. And if he doesn't come fess up at some point, you're probably like, all right, Marley, come here. I already asked you, did you do it? And you said, no, whatever. Marley, look, now that's judgment. We got to take care of this because you've been lying to me. I'm not saying, it's just a story. It's not true, is it, Marley? Is there anything you've done your mom doesn't know about? It's time to fess up. No, Lorelai's like, what? No, all right. So he says, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. God says, I already know what's going on with you. I want you to fess up to me what's going on. That is why many of you, look at this. He's talking about the Corinthian church. He said, that's why many of you are weak and sick and have even died. You know, God says, I brought you in this world. I can take you out. That's God would rather you represent him and give him glory. But at some point, God does with his children. In my 30 years of being a pastor, I have watched him take 3 people out of this world who God has used me to give dire warning to and said, look, you don't get this right. You don't fix this situation. You keep doing this wrong thing. Man, God is going to take you out. And that's not me. It's not on me. I'm just the spokesperson. I'm just the messenger. But I have watched in 30 years him take 3 people out for misrepresenting him grossly. And I'm not saying that's you, but he could. And you get to miss everything he had in store for you to be a blessing for in this world. So he said, that's why many of you are weak and sick. Some have even died. He says, but if we examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. So God just wants Marley to fess up to Abby. In a nutshell, he wants us to fess up to him. He already knows it. All right, God, this is where I'm weak. This is where I'm having trouble. This is where, God, you know what? I need your power. God, I need your strength. I can't do it. I couldn't save myself. I can't keep myself saved. And I can't keep myself sanctified. I need your power, but I am putting my dependence on you right now. And that's what he wants from us. And this is the reason why, to end it all up, he wants us to look around to help others. So we're going to look which way? Start, help me out so you don't fall asleep. We're going to look back to what he did for us. We're going to look to him coming again. We're going to look in so we don't have to be judged by God, but we judge ourselves so that we can look around to help others escape eternal judgment. Look at this real super quick, this last verse. Yet when we are judged by the Lord... Marley, when you get your spanking, man. Mom says, bend up. No, I'm just like, now it's really, all right, taking the Bronco away. Taking your phone away. How about that? That would be the biggest thing. Oh, Marley's grabbing his phone. She didn't do it, did she? Yeah. When we're judged by the Lord, we are being what? Disciplined. Hey, does Keone or Alon ever need discipline? What happens if you don't discipline them? One, you don't love them. But two, what if you don't discipline them? They're wild people. They don't learn anything. They're still wild people because they got to respond to discipline, right? But the point is that God disciplines us to put us on the right track. How many of y'all drove over the bridge today? A bridge. All right. I'm going to drive back over a bridge again. Anybody? All right, cool. Even a little Florida FPL bridge, Chuck, you know, but driving over this big bridge right here. How many of y'all worried as you were driving over the bridge that you were going to fly over the side? Anybody like, oh my goodness, here we go. Oh God, I'm going to fly over the side. Why are you not worried? Because you had guardrails, right? You had guardrails. Could you violate those guardrails if you wanted to? Yeah, could you hit them and go over the side? Marley, could your Bill Mako, could you take it? Yeah. But what would happen, Marley, if you're driving and all of a sudden you skimmed a guardrail? What would you do? Right? And you'd get back in line because the guardrail was there that's disciplined to get you back on the right track. You know, if you hit the guardrail, there's not big swords coming out that are going to cut your car in half and demolish you and all of that. That's later in life. That's during the tribulation period, all right? But not now. But literally, you hit a guardrail, the guardrail, oh, how many of y'all have ever hit a guardrail? Like just brushed the guardrail. All right, oh, more than I thought. All right, I thought it was just me. I'm like, no, but literally, you hit a guardrail. What did it do, Tara? I was like, oh, did you like, oh, that was fun. Let's see it again. Woo, let's see how hard. I'm gonna do a, if it was Keone and he had a skateboard, it'd be a board slide, man. He'd be doing, let's do a 50-50 with the car on top. Shh, right? No, when you hit the guardrail, it's like, oh, and it got you. And now, did you pay more attention or did you become more careless? Did you continue the text that you were texting? No, just now I got a big screen TV and I can text right there and look. I don't have to even look down, so it's good. But literally, you now paid more attention because you were disciplined by the guardrail. Aren't you glad God disciplines us? Because how many were you glad the guardrail was there? You think, how many of y'all thanking God right now for guardrail? Yeah. Can you imagine if there was no guardrail? Woo, it would have been fun to be flying. But when does the pain come? When you land. That's what people without Christ, they have no guardrails. We have a guardrail. That's why he wants to discipline us. When we're judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. He's disciplining us to become more like him. And he's telling us the world is going to be condemned, but he wants us during this time, this little time that we're in, where you have so many problems, so many big things that are overwhelm you and that take priority in over your relationship with God, why you don't have time to spend with him, why you don't have all of these bad things. You know what God wants to do? He wants to make you closer to him. Am I messing things up when I squeeze this? All right. I'll just put it down now. How about that? Oh, you. Man, we get all fired up about all of this when in reality, everything that happens in our life is by his design to make us more like him. And when we become more like him, it brings him glory. And when he gets glory and people see him, there's still people that want him. And when they're He gives them the desire and ability to want him. They can maybe look at your life and say, yeah, that's what it looks like. That's what this little thing is about right here. Because we've got that. We've got all of that. But right now, from the time we're born again till the time he brings us home, it's all about him. That's why he says, I want you to take time out. And I want you to think about these things. And we'll have communion. So again, next, I don't even know where we're at, JJ. I don't have a remote anymore. No. I guess I can't be trusted with a remote. No, I can't. It's already proved that. So again, we take time to look which way? Back to what he did for us. We're going to look to being with him. So since that's said, he wants us to look which way? In, so that then we can look around and share with them who God is. So again, this is nothing new for most of you. But what God wants to do is reveal new things about you through the scripture. He wants you to see new things about you. And he wants you to have that intimate time with him. So what we're going to do, I'm going to pray. And then I am going to probably have the band come do their thing. And I just want you to come around and grab some juice, grab some bread, and go back to your seat and be thinking about looking back, looking forward, looking in, and looking around. And then we'll celebrate it all together as we eat it and drink it together. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful that you establish communion. You establish communion and you establish baptism. Baptism is so we can see the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Communion is so we can think again about the death, burial, and resurrection, but also you coming again and what our real purpose is while we're here. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each person here. I pray, Father, if there's somebody who doesn't know that when they die, they're going to heaven, they don't know that they've ever surrendered themselves to Christ, but maybe they have a desire to do it today. Father, I pray they just do it. Well, I don't know what's going to happen next. You know what? Those of us who have Christ don't know what's going to happen next. That's why it's called faith. We know the one who does know everything, and we want to follow him. So, Father, I pray if there's somebody that needs to give their life to you, today would be the day they do that. Give them a desire they can't refuse. Father, for those of us that know, we know that you've loved us forever. We know that we're yours here, and everything that comes in our life is by design to make us more like you and to give you glory. And we know we have a home in heaven forever. We've got the rapture. We've got the wedding. We've got the millennial kingdom. We've got eternity. Father, help us to represent you better here. So speak to us. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you would, go ahead and you can start from wherever you're sitting. There's no real order. Just come on up.